This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Who needs enemies when we can sometimes be our own worst enemy and stop our progress in any area of our life, love, career, and health? Today, Dr. Clarissa Hughes will be talking about why this occurs and sharing some ways you can overcome this and become a more confident, authentic you. Dr. Hughes, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much, Eric, for inviting me. I'm delighted to be here and to talk to your listeners.
And you're more than welcome, and thanks for your time as well. So tell us, what is self-sabotage and how does it actually appear in our lives?
Well, you know, self-sabotage is when we talk to ourselves in a very negative way, that kind of inner chatter that sounds like a never-ending tape recorder. Sometimes it's completely unconscious. And it can increase our stress and anxiety, and in turn, it restricts our ability to step out of our comfort zone and to bring positivity into our lives.
And if you would, Dr. Hughes, give us some examples of self-destructive behaviors to help us better understand the situation and the problem.
Oh, for sure. How about these ones, which you might recognize in yourself, or you've met someone like that? You go, if only. We all have those kinds of regrets or fantasies, and we say, if only. If I'd had different parents, if I was more talented, if my partner was different, that's a very common one. The other one I see a lot with my clients is things like, I'll start that tomorrow. You know, I'll go on that diet tomorrow. Maybe I'll have a clean slate. I'm going to have a different year this year. That's another very common self-destructive behavior. Or just in a little bit of inertia. So you pick up a healthy habit, you keep it for a few weeks in a row, like making coffee rather than buying it, or taking the stairs rather than going by the elevator, and then you don't carry on doing it. You stop and you just go, oh, well, I can't be bothered. And then we think we can do something about it later on. And then, of course, the final one I'm going to talk about is we get afraid of our thoughts. And one of the easiest ways to ensure that a thought will have power over us is to try your hardest to suppress it. You know, this is my third argument with my partner this week, or what's wrong with me? Or you feel guilty because you might say something like, my coworker isn't pulling her weight. But she's really nice and a good friend, so I'm not going to rock the boat. So we get a bit suppressing of those thoughts. We don't try and understand the thought we have. We don't feel it. And we don't really decide whether that's a thought that makes sense. You know, we walk around afraid of what our brain is telling us. And so we get a bit obsessive and we're locked in a battle of trying to desperately get sticky thoughts to go away, but they don't. They keep coming back.
Yeah, certainly some great examples of self-destructive behaviors. Where do mindfulness and compassionate self-awareness come into play?
Well, the whole thing about mindfulness is that it's helping us to become first and foremost aware of our automatic ways of behaving and thinking. So a lot of what we do, as I said, unconsciously. And so mindfulness can really, really help us to cultivate that awareness, to begin to realize that our thoughts, well, they're just that, they're thoughts. They're a stream of mental events. And if we practice mindfulness, then the first thing we can do is we can start to notice thoughts and we can decide whether we want to go along with that thought or we can choose to do something different. We catch ourselves, and by being in the present moment, things like if only, or the habits that we have that are destructive, they're about tomorrow. But if you're in the present moment, you start to let go of those thoughts that we're thinking about. And the other thing about mindfulness is we stop resisting things that we don't like. And when we stop resisting them, they start to fade away. Because what we resist, as I said, persists. And self-sabotaging is often about resisting things we don't like, thoughts we don't like, changes we say we're going to make but don't. So mindfulness teaches us to be more accepting and more compassionate than we have been in the past. And when we start to become kinder to ourselves, which is the self-compassionate part, we start to dial down our inner critic. We start to see ourselves as more important, and we're becoming a little bit of our own best friend.
Today we're speaking with Dr. Clarissa Hughes, the CEO and founder of the Little Breathing Space and mindfulness coaching business based in Sweden, here on eHealth Radio's Personal Development Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Hughes, also, how would you advise changing habits and behaviors?
Well, one of the first things I think we've got to do is probably get to the point where we practice mindfulness. Sounds a bit obvious to me, but we actually start to, you know, take on and use mindfulness as a way to get calmer, to get to know our thoughts better, and to actually be present in the present moment. So that's one of the very first things we can do. We can either start mindfulness-based meditations ourselves. There are lots of good apps out there that can get us started. But we can also start working with someone who will teach us mindfulness practices in a step-by-step kind of process, so that we go from beginning to cultivate awareness of where we are, of our habits, our behaviors. We can then, through that step, come to acknowledging and accepting where we are. And going forward from there, we learn that we can, through mindfulness practices, we have the ability to be have perspective and turn towards the pleasant. So we actually go through a step-by-step process of doing that, and it's systematic. And that's probably the best way to actually begin to change our self-sabotaging behavior. And I think eventually we get to a point through mindfulness that we see our awareness as something bigger. We can become, I think I describe it as becoming a yacht, not a dinghy, and we kind of can glide and not be tossed about by what life is throwing at us. And through mindfulness, we get the ability to make a choice. And if you know that you can compassionately and mindfully make choices, you can start to step over some of our self-sabotaging behaviors where, you know, we're putting ourselves down and we're dwelling on our thoughts. And instead, we're actually able to see that we're not having a hard time, that our thoughts aren't piling on top of us. And we have a sense of spaciousness around our experiences. And we realize that we can't always get rid of difficult things or tackle them immediately, but we can find skillful ways of choosing how we want to live our lives rather than just self-sabotaging and allowing life to run us. We start to run our life.
Lastly, how and why or how could this all be possible for us, the listeners?
First thing is that everybody has the ability to be mindful. It's our capacity of our brains is always that we could be in the present moment. We have that ability to pause, to stop, to have non-judgmental awareness. And so everybody can do that. I would say to your listeners, everybody can, and there's nothing special about being able to use mindfulness practices. Some of them involve meditation and some of them don't. And everybody can meditate and everybody can do these things. They're very simple. It's more like, do you want to? You know, it's like start where you are and take that little leap of faith forward.
Well, Dr. Hughes, thanks so much for joining us here today, and a great topic to focus in on. A lot of times we're blinded to the fact that self-sabotage is either in our lives or knocking on the door, and this information can certainly be of help to us, the listeners. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a final tip, anything else you'd like to share?
Thank you so much, Eric. I think that if I had two tips that I would do with people, these are the two I think that I think work really well in a self-sabotaging situation. One is practice gratitude. And I say to my clients, you've got to write down 10 things every day. And they go, seriously, 10? And I go, no, write down 10 things that you're grateful for every day, however small. And then thank yourself for something that went well in your day. We'd be amazed when you do that, how that gratitude and kindness to yourself starts to flow back to you. So that's my number one tip. And my second tip is do acts of kindness to love yourself. Do something kind for yourself every day. And I like to get people to make a self-love vision board. Fill it up with things that you like to do, images of things that really spark joy in your life. And then make time in your diary, a solo date, and do one of these things. And by just bringing that level of more compassion to yourself, then indeed you can change the way in which you perceive yourself, start cutting down on some of your negative thinking, and learning to become your own best friend. And then finally, of course, meditate, meditate, meditate every day, even if it's only 10 minutes, a short breathing space meditation will help you to cultivate your awareness, catch your negative thoughts when they're happening, and make a huge difference to your self-sabotaging behavior.
And certainly appreciate those concluding words. Where can listeners get further information on your services there at the Little Breathing Space Mindfulness Coaching Business there in Sweden?
I've got a website, and it's called thelittlebreathingspace.com, and they can find me there. And I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, as well as The Little Breathing Space.
Dr. Hughes, once again, thanks for your time and for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Much appreciated. Have a great one.
Thank you very much for having me, Eric.
And you are most welcome. We've been speaking with Dr. Clarissa Hughes, the CEO and founder of The Little Breathing Space, a mindfulness coaching business based in Sweden. And for further details and for contact, visit thelittlebreathingspace.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.